And everybody said, hallelujah. Presence of the Lord is in the place. When Isaiah stepped into the presence of the Lord and he saw him high and lifted up, he was there. If you'd have been there and you'd have met him, if you would have asked him, are you here? He would have said, I am here. If you're here tonight, bodily say, I am here. Say it again. But there's something about being in the presence of God and hearing God speak and God needing you to be available for His purpose and getting a touch from God. He felt that touch. But Isaiah said, beyond the touch, besides the touch, he said, I heard a voice. So I like what I felt, but I heard the voice of the Lord speaking. And when God got through speaking, he took the position from I am here, and it was reversed to here am I. And if we come to church and just say, I am here, and leave, I am here, we've missed the whole thing. But if we can walk in acknowledging the fact, I am here. Now, God, you talk to me. So when I walk out, I can say, here am I. Here am I is a commitment after the I am here. Come on, put your hands together and praise Him. Be seated. Real quickly, I give honor to our district superintendent, to the Home Missions Board, Brother Nichols, who represents this district well on the National Board of Directors. When the Home Missions Board meets, Brother Swain, secretary, the members, missionaries, I think you ought to give a big hand to the district and to the Home Missions Division of the District of Ohio. John said it like this, there are also many other things which Jesus did. Notice this now, how he starts putting his feeling into it. The which, if they should be written, every one should be written. I suppose that even the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written about him. He's saying that there are some things that should be written, and if they are written, I just was in the room this afternoon and thought I already had my subject for tonight and started writing something down. Here's what I want to emphasize to you in the next few minutes we're together. When a should becomes a shall, and a shall never becomes a should. Did you get that? Turn to your neighbor and say, you should have got that. You better respond and say, I shall get that. When a should becomes a shall, and a shall never becomes a should. Let me give you to you an example. Shepherds on a hillside. An announcement comes to them. The announcement is very simple. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. This is for you. It's your sign. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find. Everybody say, shall find. Not there's a possibility. Not that it might be accidental. Not that you should find. But ye shall find the babe, 2 points, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So I don't care how many barn doors you have to open. You can open barn door number one and ask the question, what's behind the door? Well, I see, looks like a elderly man that must be daddy, and he's over there cleaning out the stall in the barn. I see a little fella, probably about X amount of years old, and he's running around, and I don't even see mama. Then you might as well close the door and look for another barn door. Barn door number two, what's behind the door? Well, I see, now this is a pretty nice scene. I see dad standing there holding the staff. I see mama sitting there, and I see looks like a not too old baby. She's a bouncing on her lap. This ought to do. No, it won't do. For this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find. Ye shall find. When God ever says it shall be this way, you can't change it to a should or a maybe or a could be otherwise. So you keep on going down the road. You keep on open barn doors. You keep on looking in until you see what? You see a daddy in there. You see a woman in there who is the mama. And you see a babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Put your hands together. Thank God for the shall that God establishes in our lives. Sometimes the human element is involved to make it become a shall, or it will always remain a should. Did you get that? Some things in life that are shoulds can remain until you make it a shall. Some things God establishes right off in their shalls. You'll never make it anything else. The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. For God said, you shall not eat of it. Then he said, don't even hang around it. Don't even touch it. Thou shalt not touch it. Because the day you get too close to it and hang around it, and you touch it and partake of it, you shall surely die. That is why the great prophet Ezekiel could come along years later and simply say that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's just the way it is. That is why the principle is established that the way of the ungodly shall perish because of sin. I mean, that's a fact when we deal with the sin question and the entry of sin into the world and eternity. The shalls are already established. This is why the great principle that Jesus introduced about the sin area of an individual's life is, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, he shall be lifted up. Why? The purpose of it is, God is not willing that any should. I said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that is an element controlled by a human being that once God begins to speak, he has a right. And he steps into a position that says, I shall change my should of repentance and I shall repent. Home missions emphasizes when we start a new work to in the community, when we knock on that door, what we are saying in essence is, you should not have to perish. But the should is in your control. We come as an apostolic army, marching into a community called Home Missions, in order to change the should not perish to a I shall not perish. I said we've got to change it from a should not to a shall not perish. When talking about the great preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Luke recorded it like this, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. What a statement. Luke was writing about Jesus transferring responsibility from himself to his disciples. If it was not in a transferable position, Jesus simply would have said that the gospel of repentance and remission of sins shall be preached. But he didn't say that. Because he knew the frailty of humanity. And when he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, 2 points. after it should be is established, then the point one is, it should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, I'm glad Peter decided the should not remain a should. But Peter stepped over the line and said, somebody's got to go to Jerusalem. Somebody's got to wait. Someone has to stand up and preach, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter said, I'm going to step over the line and make the should a shall. That's the operation of home missions. We're trying to fulfill the commission of taking a should and making it a shall be preached. Oh, put your hands together and give him a big one if you're going to do it. But Peter took the boldness. He took the initiative to make the should be preached a shall, beginning at Jerusalem. But it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations. Somebody's got to step in and take that role and say it should be preached in China. It should be preached in the Far East, the Middle East. It should be preached across Europe. But until somebody says, I'm going to take the should and make it a shall, it will never be preached. Oh, let's love him right now. Come on. So the responsibility shifts from the Lord to His disciples. The human element. Peter fulfilled that. No wonder in Acts chapter 10, Peter could make this profound statement. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It's no longer a should, because he started to preach a shall message in Acts chapter 2. And now he says, 8 chapters later, you shall receive remission of sins. It's no longer a should, it's a shall. Oh, let's wave our hands if you've been buried here with him in baptism. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you love that verse of Scripture in the book of Joel? And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my Spirit. Oh, have you ever read that one? Let me read something to you. 4 verses prior to that statement. In Joel chapter 2, verse 24, talks about be glad, something's going to happen. When the Lord comes, when the Messiah comes, when the deliverance and salvation is come to all mankind, something's going to happen. The floors possibly could be, might be, and even should be. When God establishes a shall, you can't change it to a should. You shouldn't waste your time. For the floors, say it with me, shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. God's going to do some restoring. The years the locust had eaten, cankerworm, caterpillar, palmerworm, the great army which the Lord had sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. And ye shall know that I am in the midst. I want you to notice something. Before I hit it, let me pull myself into it. I celebrated 55 years of ministry this past February. 56 years ago, my crusade, I was contemporary with David Walker, little David. I was little Joseph in crusades. The Assemblies of God put it on hold because I, at age 16, had started preaching water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And the essentiality of being filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. So, my dad represented me and I was called in question. They gave us 3 weeks. We had to sign papers recanting of all that I was preaching. 3 weeks or the St. Louis Crusade will not go on. You talk about a dilemma. I received the revelation of the mighty God in Christ, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, before I ever discovered the United Pentecostal Church. That's why I know I'm in the right place at the right time, even tonight. And I will not go into details in the testimony that I usually give about how God began to work on a sister doing a walk. God said, keep on walking. She walked in front of our house. My mom was in the front yard. Started speaking in tongues. The lady started speaking in tongues. Got into a conversation. Found out the lady was a member of Walter Gwynn's church in St. Louis, Missouri. She called him. He came out. And that's how I discovered all you folks. You're not a bad-looking bunch. But let me tell you what I discovered. When I discovered there's an apostolic movement that some of you have forgotten about because you were raised in it. I came from Catholicism, received license at age 14 in Church of God, ministered in the Assembly of God, but at age 16, saw the revelation and was licensed at age 16, started preaching this apostolic message. And I'll tell you why. Because when I was introduced to the United Pentecostal Church, I found the floors shall be full of wheat. And the fats shall overflow. They were overflowing. I found out that apostolic doctrine allowed us, we shall eat in plenty. We shall know that the Lord is in the midst of His people. And then Joel 2:28 says, and then afterward, in the last days, saith God, I shall pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost power that's outpoured since Pentecost. You can't make the shall of in the last day saith God, I shall, God shall. It shall come to pass. He will pour out His Spirit. It shall come to pass in the last days. You can't change that shall to a should. It's already a shall by the prophet Joel. No wonder when Peter was emphasizing that in Acts chapter 2 verses 17 and 21. About in the last days. And it shall come to pass. In the last days. And it shall come. Everybody say it shall come to pass. No wonder he was emphasizing to the audience. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. And then says this is that. This is the shall Joel was talking about. No wonder they had to pick up the same word and say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because it was all started with a prophetic word of, it shall come to pass. And anything less than that would be a dishonor to the Word of God. That's why they didn't cry out and say, what should we do, or we might do, or we could do? No, no. There was too many shalls already established. They cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then we have that beautiful answer Peter gave. Let me take a moment. Talk to this audience about worship. John chapter 4, woman at the well. In the conversation, she says to Jesus. Now, we know what you Jews teach and emphasize about worship. That it's up at Jerusalem where men ought to worship. Now, the word ought there in our English is should. She was saying, we know what you Jews say about Jerusalem, that that's the place that men should worship. Jesus said, woman, let me enlighten you a little bit. The hour cometh. What a kind of an odd saying. The hour cometh, and now is. It's coming, but yet it's already here. When the true worshipers shall worship, right then I had about a 25% participation. Do you know why? Because some of you are living where Jesus said, for the hour cometh. For some of you, you haven't got there yet. And it hasn't got to you yet. For you, it's just a should. That's why you're going to worship whenever you feel like you should worship. Because the should of worship has never got to you as a shall worship. That's why some of the churches, song leaders, choir leaders are still waiting on you. For it shall come to pass. It's never got to you yet. But he also said, but it also is to those that discover it, to those that want it. True worship is a shall worship the Father. Do I have any people in this audience that would lift their hands and do a shall instead of a should? You've been waiting for a should when it feels convenient. You're waiting for a should if everything's all right. But true worshipers shall. I said true worshipers shall. Do we have any shall true worshipers here? Wave your hand. Hallelujah. Before you see the turn to that one you're standing by and say, from now on, I'm an is. For the hour cometh, but for some of us it's already here. I'm a shall worshiper. Don't tell me I should. Just watch out. I shall. Don't tell me I should rejoice. Watch out. I shall rejoice. For you that are still waiting, it's just a should that you're going to work into your service. But I've got some shall worshipers here tonight. There's some shall worshipers in this audience tonight. You can always tell true worshipers. They're not, well, I could and I might and I should, but I'm not. They're a shall worship. Just give them a chance. They're a shall worshiper. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. Listen what was established. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, will not return. And even stronger, in the Old Testament, the term shall not return is there. But here it is, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. That's Isaiah chapter number 45, verse 32. But notice in the Word of God, verse 23. Romans 14 and 11. I don't have time to go to it, read it to you. Romans makes a quotation of Isaiah 45 and uses the terminology, except the word swear is to confess. Romans says unto him, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Isaiah said it's a shall. The writer of Romans refers back and says it's a shall. But when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, Paul talked about how great he is and exalted he is and the name he's been given. And that's at the name of Jesus. Now he reaches back, but he changes it and says that at the name of Jesus, talks about things in heaven, on earth, and on earth, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. Now, wait a minute, Paul. That's not the exact quotation. Paul said, I'm not trying to change the context of what Isaiah said and what Romans said. Paul is saying, I am addressing the church at Philippi from a human dimension. And in the human element that I approach in this writing, I'm trying to tell you, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. And since that is in your control, if you don't bow them and you don't start confessing, I want you to know it's already established. There shall come a day. I can't change the shall to a should, because someday, if you refuse to do the should that I'm telling you and make it a shall, you still someday will knee as a shall bow and a shall confess. So Joseph Louis Barino has decided, I'm not going to wait until I stand in his presence to where every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I'm going to bow it now. I'm going to make the should of Paul a shall now. I shall bow now. I shall praise him now. I shall confess him now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Make sure I got this mic hot right here. I wish I had time to take you into some other areas, but did you know that Hosea in prophecy said there shall, everybody say shall, there shall come a day in the place where it was said, you are not the children of God. In that place it shall be said, you are the children of the Most High. Hosea said, it shall come to pass.
Right.
Right. It shall come to pass.
Amen. Amen.
In the place where it was said, you're not one of God's children, it shall be said in that day, ye are the children of the Most High. Lord, I feel something in the room. Do you feel it? This is why the Bible talks about the law. And it says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The law from Jerusalem forbid the Gentiles to claim heritage with the Israelites. They were dogs. They were cast aside. And the Bible even calls them strangers and foreigners and aliens. Bible calls us without hope. That's all they told us in Jerusalem, where the law went out from. Gentiles are dogs. You're not the children. You're outcasts and foreigners and strangers and beyond hope. Aliens. But Hosea said it shall.
My Lord Jesus, this Italian Gentile feels real good about now. It shall come to pass in the place where it was said, you are not, it shall be said, you're the children of the Most High. In Acts 10:45, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And do I have some Gentiles that will say, praise the Lord? In Acts chapter 11, Peter goes to Jerusalem and announces, God hath also of the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That was at Jerusalem. Four chapters later, Barnabas and Paul arrive at where? Jerusalem. And they make the profound statement that God, again, confirming with Barnabas and Saul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles, even by them. The pastor James stands up and says, Peter hath already declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, and then he lays it on. And he said, we've heard Barnabas and Paul come. We make an announcement today. In this place where it was said, the Gentiles were not a people. I make this announcement. The Gentiles are the people of the living God. For Isaiah said, or Hosea said, it shall come to pass. I'm telling you, what God said it shall, you can't change to a should. It will always be a shall. Would you stand with me for the reading of the last two or three verses of Scripture? Just stand with me. Let me just slice this thing about right in two-thirds remaining here. Home missions. I feel like in my spirit, home missions has a bright spot in the Ohio district. And the future is only as bright as the promises of God are. For you see, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I know you deal with a lot about what you could be and what you should be, but I got news for you. Just keep on working, because it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall be like Him. For when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. Just keep on making shoulds, shalls, because someday you shall see Him. Hold on. Hold on. I told you my subject was, when a should becomes a shall, and a shall that you can't make a should. I want to leave you with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Verse 51.
Behold,
take a good look.
A mystery.
I'm going to show you a mystery.
We shall not all sleep.
We shall not all sleep.
But we shall all be changed.
There's a slight possibility.
Hallelujah.
It could. No. It's a shall.
Yes, sir.
We shall not all sleep. But what's going to happen? We shall.
We shall all be changed.
We shall all be changed. How quick?
In a moment.
In a moment.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Twinkling of an eye.
At the last trump.
At the last trump.
For the trumpet shall sound.
For the trumpet shall. Shall.
Hallelujah.
Shall. You can never change that. It shall sound.
Oh, yes.
We don't.
And the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
And the dead shall be raised.
Yes.
I said, they shall be raised.
Hallelujah. And we shall be changed.
And we shall be changed.
Yes, hallelujah.
I said, we shall be changed.
Oh, yes, yes.
I said,
yes,
we
yes.
shall be changed.
Hallelujah.
1 Thessalonians, 2 verses of Scripture. Listen closely.
For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord.
That we which are alive and remain.
We which are alive and remain.
Until the coming of the Lord.
Until the coming of the Lord.
Shall not prevent them which are asleep.
That's a shall.
Yes, it is.
You're not going to hold this body down.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I said, it's not a should.
Yes.
It's not a possibility.
Hallelujah.
But you can mark it down.
Yeah.
You shall not prevent them. Read on.
For the Lord Himself shall...
For the Lord Himself
shall descend from heaven with a shout.
It's already established.
Yes, it is.
I don't have to worry about it. He shall. All right, you don't.
With the voice of the archangel.
Voice of the archangel.
The trump of God.
The trump of God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise
first. I said the dead in Christ shall rise.
Hallelujah.
They're going to come out of the grave.
Yes, sir.
And they shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready for this one? Here's why there's a home missions department. And so shall we ever.
Amen.
Who's the we?
Yeah.
That should have repented, and they did, and made it a shout. Who's the we? Those that should have preached the gospel to all nations, and we said, we shall. We shall.
We shall ever be with the Lord.
The Lord forever.
Hallelujah.
That's the purpose of home missions. Let's have a church resurrected. Come on, lift your hands. We shall worship Him.
Thank you, Brother Marino. Let's all give the Lord praise and glory. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. I praise.